Namibia.
Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chambi. And today I'm joined by my colleague, that is yours truly.
Francina Pavo.
Yeah, Francina, how are you doing, my sister?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah, and you know, it has been a very long, too long month, January. And we are pushing, we are in 2026. And there's actually a lot of things which I've been really dying to discuss about, especially looking at Namibia food security. You look at the weather. You also look at you know, unpredictability in terms of weather pattern. You know, I was speaking to my grandmother yesterday via the phone, and she's somebody who is always concerned about food security. She's concerned about planting. She's concerned about crops. And she was telling me to say, no, you know, I have high hope of rain season these days, but you see, like, things are not matching. They are not coming. The rain is not falling on time. And there are also some also of maybe things to be predicted on what will happen moving forward. In your view, maybe, what do you think are some of the new changes, things that you have never seen, maybe for the past 2 years or so, especially in the change of weather pattern?
Yeah, the weather has really changed a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Comparing from last year, last year's weather, this season, So last year we received a lot of rainfall, which was unexpected. And now coming to this year, I thought it would be it would be the season of, like, you know, people were not traveling by this time last year. Because of flood. I thought we will experience the same thing this year. But look, by the look of things, no, it's just, it's sunny, hot. Very hot.
And mosquitoes are here.
Mosquitoes.
And you know, Francina, when you look at, climate, when you look at people speaking about renewable energy, when you see people speaking about clean energy, sometimes you start also to see that, you know, some of these things, they are now manifesting. And we are really not paying attention, especially when scientists are speaking about, you know, we must be careful about what we are putting on air. And we must also recycle. We must also understand the change in weather pattern. And also look at materials that we are buying. And also the energy that we are using. But I think there is much to learn, especially in terms of Namibia and also in the world where things are, you know, they're unpredictable. They're unpredictable. You see governments, some governments are not, you know, willing to pay, especially funds that are related to protect, upgrade, you know, environment. You see the United States these days, they are becoming bold. And Uncle Trump, it's also indicating that he's not interested in a lot of things, especially those things which are not supporting the U.S. But I think we are expecting a lot in 2026. What is your view in 2026? Are we going to eat? Are we going to improve in terms of advancement in terms of food security? What is your general view when you are looking at this weather?
So now it's just it's only the beginning of the year, right? Things can change. And then all I can say is just we need to be positive and hopeful. That maybe soon or later it's gonna rain and we're gonna harvest.
Indeed.
So I feel like it's too early to make any judgment or decision. And we should, you know, sometimes you just need to be hopeful.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing to be positive, but we must also not only believe in hope, we must do what we say. To say, if people are saying do not burn fossil fuel, and it's only Africa which is not doing it, but other countries which are advanced, they don't have a problem with that, because they are saying Africa is not the main contributor to greenhouse gases,
mm-hmm.
but it's the country which are advanced, which are developed. And but yeah, but I think it would be right if we are going to listen to the experts, mm-hmm. what they are going to say and mm-hmm. what they are going to discuss.
Yeah, because okay, now you know some people know when you talk about climate change,
yeah,
and then to actually take part in reducing climate change,
yeah,
they feel like if you tend to tell just a general person,
mm-hmm.
like what you are doing, you can lead to climate change. They'll actually feel like no, climate change is only for educated and smart people, and you know such mindsets. If you tell a person that no, when you throw that on the floor or in, on the ground,
yeah.
it's gonna lead to this and that.
Yeah.
Then people don't like listening.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own mindset of things.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are going to look at UNAM 2026 registration fee for postgraduate students and also non-first time students. Then from there, we are going to listen to the experts, particularly in the area of climate change. So stay tuned. UNAM 2026 registration fees, postgraduate and non-first time students. UNAM advises that Namibian students pursuing postgraduate studies or a second or subsequent qualification are not covered under the subsidized tertiary education funding model. These students are required to pay the compulsory
When life gifts you an unexpected breakdown, take control with Express Credit. No need to panic when you're in the driver's seat of your financial life. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 081-9500-500 for more information.
These students are required to pay the compulsory registration fees and minimum tuition deposits at the time of registration. Outstanding balances from previous years must be cleared before registration. Students are encouraged to familiarize themselves with the fee breakdown and payment deadlines and to use approved electronic payment methods when making payments. Yes, from University of Namibia, let us look at the context for today, especially when we are going to listen to my colleague here, that is Francina Pavo, when he got into the conversation with Jasper Kasoma, who is a climate finance researcher, especially looking at some of the challenges, achievements, and also what need to be done, especially when it's come to the young people, government, and also stakeholders when it comes to the issue of climate change. Indicate that Donald Trump on the other side say no, we are pulling out, not only from Paris Accord, not only from UN climate or COP, but also looking at what is need to be done, especially in terms of cutting of fundings. But let us look at that. Can we give up? Can we move forward? Or we are going to stay in the words of the Secretary General and the positive Secretary General of United Nations, Antonio Guterres, that said that no matter the situation, United Nations shall not give up. We shall never give up on UN, especially when it's coming to address of issues of concern. Let's wait, look at the conversation, and move forward.
Sina and your listeners, thank you for that critical question on climate change. So basically, I think for laymen, it's very important to understand that the climate has been changing ever since, you know, the beginning of the universe. And we have to appreciate that it is now, the changes has been intensified because of our activities, we as human on earth. And by that activities, I mean when we are burning too much of our fossil fuel, that is likely to be now oil,
mm-hmm.
it's intensifying,
mm-hmm.
and the blanket that's up, or which is called ozone layer, is trapping
mm-hmm.
too much of this carbon dioxide into our atmosphere, and that trap heat really intensify now the changes that we are experiencing, whether it's flood drought, all these natural phenomena that we are experiencing. So they are directly linked, and we are using the best available science to inform our arguments on this, that yes, there is indeed a climate change phenomena.
Okay, now, what are some of the national achievements in climate adaptation and resilience by government and stakeholders involved, youth and civil society organizations? Like, what do you have to say about it?
Yes, in terms of national achievements, within all these different stakeholders, within their mandate, of course, they've been part and parcel of, you know, building community resilience, like you put it, climate resilience. And maybe I want to emphasize on what government has been doing so far. As you are aware, within our constitution, we put it clearly that there should be a use of natural resources in a sustainable manner. That means that how we are using our natural resources should be of the benefit that the future generations are considered. And government has been, you know, at the forefront of putting up policies and regulating instruments such as now your national climate change policy, your national determinant contribution, which are policies that really have measurable actions on how we can adapt and mitigate the climate crisis. Those now measures or actions could be on agriculture and food security, energy, your AFARO, which is now agriculture, food security, land use, your all this, your mitigation action. So it's a well-draft documents, and now we have a means of implementations on how we can go about, and that's how we as young people are also participating to see how we can support government initiatives. And for young people, I should really approach them, especially those that have been in the climate space thus far, with their dedication and their scientific understanding. I believe it's because of their, you know, contradiction and a sense of, conviction and a sense of agency of this climate crisis that in many other times you find them, they are not using even, you know, state machineries. By that I mean the either government infrastructures or getting financial support from government. But they are there at the forefront, participating, shaping policies, advocating, and of course, you know, teaching one another what we call climate literacy. Maybe what is important when we look at the young people as a social group, we are seeing now young people who have been, you know, coming up with businesses, entrepreneurship, looking at climate change not just as a crisis but as an opportunity for them to also create their employment. You see young people that having technical background like your vocational education, those that are able now to, you know, to install and maintain some of these you know, solar technologies or solar systems, and young people that are also being involved in agriculture, farmers, and some are participating in the research. And if you are aware, Namibia has developed this crop resilient type, which is called Okashana type 2. I think in the northern part, those are some of the climate resilient initiatives that not just young people that are in the research, but the government also and other stakeholders such as tertiary education have been you know, coming up and collaborating with one another. But overall, government has been through the institution which is mandated to provide or mobilize funding resources, which is now the Environmental Investment Fund of Namibia. Government has also been supporting communities with community resilient initiatives. So I would say overall, considering the climate positions that Namibia find herself in, although we still have a long way to go and more initiatives that we can come up with, but yeah, there has been interesting initiatives that has been happening within the country, and also, you know, local conferences that the young people, you know, put together and participate with different stakeholders, that mainly most of them are annual. Like the recently now concluded one that I understand organizations such as Nayere, Wakapinya Youth for Ken, and SOS Children's Home Village Namibia was involved, which is a platform of engaging young people and also shaping policies.
So, if I want to participate in reducing climate change or in the climate change itself, do I just need to be educated, or do I need to be smart, or anyone can actually participate?
Wow. Okay, so I think it's very important that we call it now not necessarily combating climate change, because it's a phenomenon, it's a measure that we cannot really fight per se, but we can reduce our carbon footprint, if we have to put it that way, reducing now, you know, the greenhouse gases emissions. No, you don't need to be educated. I mean, how we define education should also, we should be clear there, because you have informal education and then you have the formal education. I believe everyone is educated in their own right, but it's just a matter of how we can reduce our carbon footprint, how we can now change our mindset and livelihood. For example, if how you are using your power at home, you know, the electricity that per se we are using in Vendo is coming from Farnhek, which is a coal production, or some other energy sources which intensify or increase the carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere. So if you are using energy at home that is coming from that source of energy, maybe you think of like, how can I maybe focus on some other sustainable energy sources like solar? For example, when you are heating up your water, instead of switching on your geyser, why can't you maybe use a solar geyser?
That
way you can also help, you know, reduce systematically, you know, the greenhouse emissions. And also maybe why can't you stop using firewood and then use these solar cookers? I have seen young people with very powerful initiatives of solar cookers. I mean, of course, there will be some adjustments in how we can look at the solar cooking in terms of the timing and all this, because it's really time consuming. But I think the thing that we should start somewhere around that angle. And also this basic of saying, no, when you leave home, switch off your power, because you don't know the production that is coming in there.
Mm.
And even your food waste, maybe let's start with there. As you are aware, your food waste, when you are wasting food,
mm-hmm.
You know, this food waste goes through this process that we call, you know, decomposition. And then within that process, they release a gas which is called methane.
Methane, yeah.
Methane is also one of the dangerous gases that we consider contributing equally to the climate crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is also trapping the heat within our atmosphere. So you start there. Stop, you know, wasting food. Just eat, you know, sustainably. You are aware that you know that you can't finish this food,
mm-hmm.
but you, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, we get too excited, but I think that's where our mindset should, you know, shift on how we can reduce the greenhouse gases emissions. It's simple as such, not to look at like, no, let's not burn, you know, fossil fuel, but is these tiny things that we can do. And for example, if you are just drafting within, I mean, you are moving or commuting within the radius of 2 kilometers,
mm-hmm.
why can't you use a bicycle? Why should you always, you know, drive for those that are lucky enough to have cars? Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it shouldn't be that complicated, but it's these daily activities that we are doing uh-huh. at an individual level that can help reduce the impact of our carbon footprint.
Okay, so now one would ask, they would want to know, what is the relationship between climate change and food security? Is there a relationship?
There is a nexus. Yes, indeed, there is a huge relationship between food security and climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So with food security, of course, is your ability now to, or is your ability as a people
mm.
to be able to feed or produce food for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are now at that position to say you are able to produce food for yourself, then we can call it food security. But as a country, at the moment, we are food insecurity because we import about 80, if not 90% of our food.
Mm.
And there is a very interesting quote that says a nation that cannot produce its own food, you know, cannot claim sovereignty. But let's focus on climate change. Why is it linked directly to climate change?
Mm.
So your food production,
mm-hmm.
if you are saying now, you know, all this heat that we've been talking about, you know, your weather vulnerability or variability that changes.
Mm-hmm.
So that will likely to speak directly to your rainfall patterns in mm. how, you know, rain is likely to occur within your region or within Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have less rain, that will mean for those of us who depend entirely on rain-fed agriculture
mm-hmm.
will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will mean there won't be food.
Mm.
So is that basic concept to say with this now intensifying of climate change and our weather pattern being disturbed,
mm.
we are likely to experience some of these things and in an area where, like for example, in the northern part of the country where you are likely to have floods and these floods mainly destroy crops, all this, you know, drought,
mm-hmm.
your livestock will die and all that. So, yes, when you have situations as such, then you can't, call it food secured. You are in a crisis.
So
maybe I just also want to add on the crisis itself, more specifically that because of this, you know, foreign dependency in terms of, you know, your food or our food import, that, you know, we have to consider now the markets, the market volatility and your political stability. Some of the food that we are importing now are not even aligned to our principles or standards. Say, for example, the genetic modified organisms, your sugar concentration, all these things, now they have implications on our availability of food as a country. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now I know we have only been a few days or weeks into 2026, né? But we have an unpredictable weather, which like the rain pattern at the beginning of 2026 is not, it's really unpredictable. And some may say it's raining at some places, and some people are complaining of the sun, it's dry. What do you think is the cause of this?
Yes, like I said, with climate change intensifying,
mm-hmm.
our climate projections,
mm-hmm.
of course, picking up a trend will be difficult. Like you are putting it, the weather unpredictable. Earlier on, we were anticipating that there would be enough rainfall, but now we are not seeing rain, you know, happening within throughout the country. So, yes, so we have the culprit. It's climate change.
Mm.
Yeah.
So climate change is basically the one of the reasons why the rain is so, or the weather is unpredictable at this beginning of the year.
Yes, yes, most definitely. And like I said, we like to use the argument of the best available science. And for long, we in Namibia, we have been experiencing, you know, getting our rainfall maybe from October there until March.
Mm-hmm.
And for this year, we got some showers within December, January, just few, and now we are not seeing anything. And January is supposed to be the peak month.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a concern,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that we have to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now on the other side, now the U.S. president, which is Donald, he pulled out. Donald Trump has actually pulled out U.S. from the key United Nations agency, and this will also affect now the money for funding. Now, in your own opinion, how is this going to impact the development world when Namibia is included? Gonna be the end of the climate dream, or there's still a future?
We take notice of Donald Trump's pulling out from key UN organizations,
uh-huh.
but it's not the first time that he's doing that. If you are aware that, you know, when we craft the Paris Agreement in 2015, he did the same thing, and that also had the implications on the promise committed or commitments of 100 billion USD per year.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be the money that's supposed to now be channeled for climate initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course there will be some changes, because the United States is a global leader,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the end We cannot, unfortunately, the world does not operate within or around one person. We are moving towards a multi-polar system. Mm-hmm. We can't just rely on America to give us funding. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we in the global south and countries such as Namibia, we can't say it's a dream that is coming to an end,
mm-hmm.
because unfortunately, climate change is here to stay.
Mm.
And Namibia, we also have our own resources. We make use of our own resources in a sustainable manner, but we also work with other partners, those partners who have been supporting us as a country ever since our independence. I think they are also there to, and they will be supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not the end. And although with these international agreements and treaty, even if they are not punitive by nature, like you cannot punish a party, we still believe that they can adhere and honor their commitments.
Uh-huh.
So if the United States is not participating, other parties will participate, and those that believe in global cooperation,
mm-hmm.
of course, they are on board. And yes, it's not... We have a work around it.
Uh-huh. Last but not least,
Yes.
I just want to know, now what can Namibian youth, the young people now, do to embark on project development that can promote food security during climate change impact? Because young people, we also need to take part. I understand there are some few young people that are also taking part in climate change, but by then there are those ones that want to take part in climate change, but they just don't know what to do and how to start.
Yes, I would say for young people, they must start with whatever they have. Now, when you are saying project management, mm-hmm. you are being specific, mm-hmm. and you know, with projects,
mm-hmm.
it really depends on which angle you are looking into. Are you into advocacy, or you are into entrepreneurship?
Mm-hmm.
So with the skills that you have, make use of it. If you are a content creator,
mm-hmm.
go out there in communities, see which challenges the communities are experiencing, document those ones, and then reach out to partners that you think can support your initiatives or can support local, you know, adaptation measures.
Mm.
So I think young people stand a very good chance here,
mm-hmm.
because they have the skill, many a times they have the talent, and also the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest and I would encourage more young people to focus on business,
mm-hmm.
and also to support government initiatives.
Mm.
That, you know, as you are aware, then our National Development Plan 6 put food security as a priority sector. So anything that is in line with food security,
mm.
young people should see how they can find and, you know, find themselves in and participate. But I also want to recognize the challenges of funding. Mm. That could be a challenge, although we have a National Development Fund for young people that is being rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
I still think young people should probe more.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, the resources, the means, please support young people that are trying their level best. And for young people that are, lucky enough to be in position of power, they must also you know, support and uplift others that, you know, are trying to meet their end. So it should not be a political discussion. It should be a developmental discussion to see how young people can participate. Because with development, it's really a responsibility of all of us.
Mm-hmm. So there are some people that it feels like I can only add to climate change if I'm cutting down trees, if I'm burning fossil fuels, or such things. Now, as me as a person being at home, how can I also reduce climate change? If like I want to participate, I want to reduce climate change. Just people in general.
Well, like I said earlier, and I just want to bring it within the discussion at hand of food security.
Mm-hmm.
Food, how, you know, we are producing our food, how we are cooking,
mm-hmm.
How we are also, and at the end of the day, how we are eating. Earlier, I want to emphasize on food waste. I think there should be a mindset change around that. Food production.
Mm.
Equally, if you have a farm, why can't you make use of energy sources that are sustainable in a way, like your solar, your renewable energy? So all this require really a paradigm, a paradigm shift per se. So it really up to us to see how we can participate in reducing our carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to, I mean, yes, it's good to live in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
But let's also try to reduce and probe more in terms of the production of any product that we are using at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we are not really living many a times within our means,
mm-hmm.
and also in a sustainable way.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean you probe on the production of the product that you are using.
Mm-hmm.
And also align it to how the future generations can benefit. So, to put it or to bring it down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I also emphasize on, you know, using of, you know, bicycle.
Mm.
But some of these initiatives are really from a Eurocentric point of view, not Pan-African, they say, because there's also no justice around that.
Mm.
Because for us as Africans, we did not contribute to this crisis, but we are paying the price, and sometimes we are forced not to make use of our resources to achieve a level of prosperity, because, you know, the general population or our masses are not living within that luxuries of having some of the technologies or systems that are net zero carbon. So we also have to think around that on how we can address the climate justice issues.
Okay. Maybe just coming at the end here, what do you have to tell now the people? Do you have anything to tell the listeners or Namibian people in general about, and just anything that you feel like you left out about climate change?
Yes. To the listeners, I want to indicate that they must not look at the climate crisis as a problem, but rather as an opportunity for us. Mm-hmm. To innovate,
mm-hmm.
more particularly to young they shouldn't look at it as a crisis, but as an opportunity for them to be innovative and for them to also make use of their skills. Because I believe young people, with their energy, they can help us adapt and find initiatives that can increase our climate resilience. And it's very critical that young people who now you and I, and we are making use of this platform, should educate each other. You know, climate literacy should inform how things like, you know, food waste are contributing to this crisis. And also how we can make use of our water resources. Maybe like, you don't just, bath for 30 minutes or expose your water. Yeah, things like that. Because the production that is really going in to get this end product is so intense and it's energy consuming. So for us as a country, we import our food and we also import our electricity, and most of this electricity is produced in an unsustainable way because they use coal, they use fossil fuel to produce this electricity that we are getting from the Southern African power pool. So having now say that, I think it's high time that we must invest in either in renewable energy, and also we must support young people who, are interested in participating in renewable energy. For example, those with businesses in solar installations, solar maintenance. And although, I'm not saying that they must get out of, cut off from the grid, but I'm saying that they need to focus more on, solar thermal systems like your geyser, because I understand there was a study that indicated that 10% of our salaries goes to just electricity, and out of that 10%, 80% is used within our thermal appliances. So if we substitute that 80% to say, no, we are investing in things like solar geysers, I think it can also help us to save money at home and divert that money into supporting our local initiatives like farming, and also because we need to support our farmers. But if we don't have the resources to do so, then it becomes a problem. So our farmers are likely to suffer, and we cannot really achieve that dream of having a food secure the country. So with this kind of thinking, those that could participate at local and national and of course international platforms, they must probe more on climate justice. They must engage and see what is really for us, what interests for us as a country, and how they can channel some of this funding so that it reach people on the ground. Climate change is a cross-cutting issue, of course, from the social, economic, and environment argument. So it needs a stakeholder engagement, but what I want to emphasize is that we should not end this discussion just here. We must engage more, and public participation is a crucial aspect of it, as given by our Environmental Management Act. So we need to have this kind of platforms, engage more, but put money where our mouth is.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Jasper. Your time is highly appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, from climate finance researcher Jasper Kasoma. Then we look at Elizabeth Jerome, so climate change advocate, what she has to say, especially in conversation with my colleague Francina Pavo.
70% of under age of 30, which are young people now, which means that the youth have a big role to play in the future of Africa. Now, from your perspective, what role do you think Namibian young people have to play in climate actions beyond meetings and conferences? Because some people just go to meetings and conferences, but they don't really have the passion to make change. What do you think young people can do?
There is quite a number of things that young people can do, but I think starting is that the young people, you kind of like, we have to educate ourselves and see what type of opportunities are there when it comes to now the different spaces that we want to, like, that we want to get ourselves into, especially now when it comes to renewable energy or tackling the impact of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, like you spoke about, like, the group of young people, we just attend conferences and meetings, mm-hmm. but we don't really have anything tangible that is actually going in the, like, within, right, in our regions or our areas,
uh-huh.
which we can look at the business side or the entrepreneurship side of things as well. Because when it comes to talking about climate change, it's not all about volunteerism or doing things for free and so, but what business opportunities are there, what challenges are there within mm-hmm. your communities that you can actually try to find solutions,
mm-hmm.
which you can use as a business opportunity for you to actually be able to also earn an income in your business as well. When it comes to renewable energy, how can you probably provide energy to your community, offer development, and while also building your business? Or how do you come up with an innovative idea on how to literally like make anything? The green hydrogen is like maybe the first green hydrogen project that you know.
Oh.
It's young people that are also being running in, and also just also looking at how can I invest, how can I contribute also, like maybe even writing articles or writing educative articles to other educated communities, and to also make sure that the information that we are also getting from the conferences and the meetings that we are attending, mm-hmm. how do you bring it back to your communities as well? And also, I think also just to maybe say also, how can I maybe elevate the best skills that I have, maybe by studying a course that is within the space for me to see how can, maybe for me to join a certain ministry or a certain company, for me to actually be able to work and contribute to the community that I'm actually coming from all the country and that.
Oh, I have to say to those ones that actually want to do something about climate change, but they are just, let me say, scared, or they feel like it's too expensive to just do something about it.
Okay, firstly, there are projects that are very expensive. There are projects that you can just use with the resources that you have.
Uh-huh.
We have, for example, we have a young lady from now who is actually recycling material to actually take the product of material, like iterative stuff as well. So what they do is they get bottles, glass bottles, they get plastic, they get, like, you know, the waste products that we have within the communities and stuff like that, the waste.
Yeah.
Waste. And they take that waste, they turn it into something that is actually useful. Like, they take it to make a table, decorative bottle, like they take wine bottles, things like wine bottles,
mm-hmm.
or they take like plastic bottles, like food bottle. They just design it in the way that they kind of use it in a way that you can use them to actually put, like, you know, when you buy meat, if you're in your office, you have somewhere where you put your pen.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, the food that you buy, you can see an A and pen. where you have to go to your bank. They make such things, they even make wedding decorating material, like when you're decorating tables or like, you know, wedding tables and stuff like that. You don't have to go and buy decorating materials again. They actually have where that you can literally bend and go and decorate. And all that they use, they actually just take it from their waste material. And we have also one of the ladies as well from Rehoboth. Or let me say more than one day, but it's actually a group of women from Rehoboth. So what they do is they take the old clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we do with our old clothes, old, you can throw it away, you know, and that is going to, like, it's already going to create a problem within the communities as well, and ending up, you know. So what they do, they use those waste material, and like maybe like the tenant gives, like the one that they lose color and stuff like this, mm-hmm. they repaint it, like they have different things that they have, or I don't know how they do it, and they design it in a way that it becomes brand new.
Okay.
So those are just some things that you can do, some examples that, you know, Namibians are actually doing to actually combat the impact of climate change here in the country. And you don't need to need and you just use the time as well. And sometimes as well, you also just have to put yourself in a, you see, where are those young people? Okay, I want to venture into this. Can I educate myself within this topic? And can I also maybe add certain communities that I can join? Maybe is there...
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 litre Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1 ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Certain communities that I can join. Maybe is there any organization within my region or my community that speaks about combating climate change or environmental sustainability? Or is there maybe a program that I actually register myself in stuff like that? And you can also like start following organizations online as well in social media, because we are just on social media. Following pages that are not even building, but follow pages such as the Ministry of Environment, follow pages such as the Environmental Investment Fund. They always have opportunities, especially like in Environmental Investment Fund, they always have opportunities that are actually funding young people's projects that are combating climate change or in agriculture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Follow such pages so that you are actually be able to expose yourself to such opportunities.
So basically, climate, if you have to fight against climate change, you don't have to be a genius. You can actually, by collecting bottles and cans, you are also fighting against or reducing climate change.
Yes, exactly. You don't have to be a genius at all, because we, all of us, whether you are educated or not educated, you contribute to the impact of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And whether with knowing it, without knowing it. And one thing that is also like, we also have, even people that are not educated, or we are all not educated, but we also have the impact of climate change. Mm-hmm. And we even already have, they already have indigenous knowledge of things that we used to be used by our forefathers, what they used to do to actually combat climate change, especially when it comes to maybe agriculture, or comes to, you know, certain things that already used to be done for them to kind of like already combat climate change. And you don't have to go to university, you don't have to go to anything. You just, what environmental challenge do I have within my community, and what can we do to actually tackle it?
Mm-hmm.
So it is not something that you have to do it alone, because probably all of you are being impacted by that. Mm-hmm. Form a community, talk to other young people, talk to other community members. We have a problem within our area. What do you think we can actually do to actually, you know, sort out this problem that we're actually experiencing?
What can I do in general?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. what is the things that we can do without even being in an office without joining an organization? Mm-hmm. You also just educating, especially when it comes to farming, the type of farming that you are doing, or you just being home saving water, mm-hmm. and you just being as well saving electricity, and you also just being home, you know, and also just maybe educating the community when it comes to waste management. Also, that's also one of the major things that we also do have.
Mm-hmm.
We also do have a super contribute to the index of climate change, the cutting down of trees. We are living in communities where they are also like cutting down trees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something that can be said that let's reduce cutting down trees, or let us use maybe alternative building materials for us to actually be able to, and not for us to use like wood, or for us to use, you know, or maybe like let's find an alternative sustainable way to actually produce energy instead of just leaving electricity lights on and electricity wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe can I use, maybe can I buy a solar energy, or can I buy an alternative energy or renewable energy that we can actually be using instead of using fossil fuels and stuff like that. So these are just some things that we can actually do better. You green, you know, gardening as well. That's also you planting trees as well. We've seen that, you know, which trees can I actually be planted within my vicinity that I think will actually be able to contribute to a great atmosphere, or to also just reduce also the carbon dioxide within, like within the air as well. So yeah, this is the three things that we can actually do. And also just you educating yourself or reading more about it and see how can I actually be able to contribute also within my small area that I am also.
Oh, okay, Mayor Elizabeth. I think I've asked all the questions, and do you have anything that you want to say to the Namibian people or people that are going to be listening?
The thing is just really that climate change is real, and we are seeing the impact or the impact within our communities.
Uh-huh.
Even in our Windhoek City, we are seeing our fellow, like within a village, especially in Windhoek or within our towns, bigger towns in Windhoek, we have the issue of climate migration.
Mm-hmm.
Climate migration coming to the country, where we are seeing the Angolan kids on the robots as doing the streets and stuff. That's actually the impact of climate change.
Uh-huh.
Because the people are not moving because they want to move, but because they are being forced by the impact of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Because Angola, the southern part of Angola, has actually been experiencing a severe drought, and that actually is the pushing factor, and people trying to look for alternative ways to actually survive, because they can't farm anymore, they can't raise their livestock anymore, so they are forced to move across borders for them to actually try to see if they can actually survive here in Namibia. And we are seeing the impact, and we are in the north, the drought, you know, and the climate is even water now. This the climate has become water. All the water and all the actually different index of climate change, and we are experiencing. So climate change is real, and we just have to see in what way can we contribute, or in what way can we actually also be the solution to the challenges and the problems that we are constantly experiencing within our communities as well.
Uh huh. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, that brings us to the end of our conversation, especially when you look at issues of climate change, climate finance, and also such as issues of unpredictability in terms of weather pattern in Namibia. From me, David Shombe.